this morning about receiving your full reward as we are entering into the last stages of this year. And you're probably thinking of rewards looking back over this year. But as we turn to 2 John verse 8, you don't have to turn there. I think it's up there. It's only this one scripture. Read with me, look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. That we may receive a full reward. And if we read in the Bible, we see it often that, that the Bible talks about us finishing well as we're entering into this last year's last stages of this year. That we, the whole race that we are running here on earth, God continuously encourages us to run in such a way that we finish well. Matthew 10:22 says this, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved. And then Mark 13:13 says similar, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. No, it's exactly the same. I think I'll copy and paste the exact the same scripture. Let's jump to the next one. Hebrews 3:14 says, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. And then Revelation 2:26 says this, and he who overcomes and keeps my work until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. You know, Christianity is not a sprint. You've heard it many times. It's a marathon. And shall I joke with Norbert again? No, I'm not allowed to do that twice, you know. But I said, you know, Norbert is our expert here when it comes to the marathons, you know. And God uses Norbert to convict me always when I drive past Norbert and I'm not running, you know, or I'm not doing anything at the moment, you know. I'm looking, yes, Norbert is on the go, you know. And he's practicing, and it happens the same with our spirit, that we have to continuously practice that and do whatever and run in such a way that we receive the full reward or that we reach the end. You know, it's not how we, how do they say, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. You know, you can start off well, but somewhere along the line, you know, something can happen and you do not finish. And that's why the things that happen in life or how we come to the end will be determined by the choices that we make along the way. And choices are determined by the patterns that we develop in our life, you know. Those patterns that are developed. And many times you become so entangled to that pattern or habit that you make choices based upon that. And it might be the wrong choice. By the way, Pastor Mark and his wife, Kim is here with us this morning, you know. Welcome. Thank you that you are joining us here this morning. They are probably, you know them well, better than me, and it's really an honor for us to have you here with us, and we honor you as well for the work that you're doing here in Swakopmund. And so it's not how we start, it's how we finish. And the whole Bible talks about finishing well. And specifically this morning with my title in mind, I want us to finish in such a way that we receive our full reward. You know, there's many life-defining moments in our life, you know. I like it when I can preach in English because then I don't have to translate this word, because this word was a struggle. I struggled. I had to say to people in the first service, you know, a levensbepalende oomblik, and it doesn't sound the same, you know. But a life-defining moment, it always, you know, we are faced with those things, you know. If we follow the wrong pattern, we consequently can make the wrong choice in that life-defining moment, and it will change the course of direction forever, you know. Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, came to such a life-defining moment after his father died, and he spoke to the elders and said, what should I do with the kingdom? And then he rejected that advice of the elders. He didn't honor their advice. He didn't honor their place which they had. And he just decided, you know, I'm going to go in my direction. I'll take my own counselors here. In that one life-defining moment when he made the wrong decision, he lost five-sixths of his kingdom, you know. And likewise with the children of Israel. They're all in the desert, you know, moaning, groaning, complaining. We know the story about that. They developed this pattern of complaining and moaning all the time, up to the place where the spies went into Canaan, into the promised land, come back, report back. Then they tell about these big people, you know, they're all, we're like grasshoppers in the sight, which was the case, you know. But then they started complaining again. God said, no, this is finished. You're not going into the promised land. I'm not taking you in there. And that pattern that they had of complaining and doing the wrong thing and just being negative caused them in that life-defining moment to make the wrong decision, just to talk too much. You know, that was the time when they had to zip their mouths and just say nothing anymore, you know. God said, now I had enough of you. We stop it here, you know. And they lost the reward. But I want to talk about the fact, the full reward this morning. That it is possible to sit in church and have a reward, yet you never received your full reward. And this is, as I was preparing this week, I thought, Lord, oh, this is so dangerous sometimes that we can come to church Sunday after Sunday as Christian and think I've been rewarded, but yet I've only received a partial reward. Why? Because there's a key in order to experience that full reward. And I want to talk this morning about honoring, about how we deal with each other. And first of all, I have to make the statement as well that I don't think I have to preach about honoring God. That's first of all, we all know as Christians actually sitting here that that's our first responsibility, to honor God and make sure that our hearts are connected at the right place to honor God in that right way. But if we don't honor each other in the right way, I can promise you that you will not receive your full reward. You might receive a partial reward or a little bit, and you've been deceived that you've been rewarded, you know. I walk out of the service or come out of the situation and I think, you know, or I feel good about it and I think I've been rewarded, but yet there was more in store for you. And God wants you to have that full reward, like he says in 2 John 8. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10 says this, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." And I thought about Jesus. Here, Jesus is in Nazareth, and if we read the word, you know that they say that Jesus couldn't do mighty works in Nazareth. It doesn't say he wouldn't do mighty works. In other words, Jesus wanted to, but he was restrained. Why was Jesus restrained? Because people didn't honor him for who he was. For them, he was just this carpenter, just this old boy that we grew up with, you know. We went to the same school. And now this man wants to tell me, you know, that he's the Messiah. And they didn't honor him for who he was. They didn't connect that to Jesus. And if we don't honor each other for the way or for the place that God has placed us, or where God has placed us, which role it might be, we wouldn't receive our full reward either. And the Greek word for honor, they say, is timi, which means a valuing. When a Greek man thinks about honoring or about honoring, he thinks about something valuable, precious, weighty, such as gold, really precious. Other words that they describe it with is appreciation, esteem, favorable regard, or respect. And then if we look at the opposite of that dishonor, atimia in Greek means not to show respect or value, to treat as common, ordinary, or menial. Now, true honor always comes from the heart. It doesn't just come from here. You know, we can say the right thing, but our hearts are not at the right place. And that's why the Lord says in Isaiah, "Inasmuch as these people draw me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but they remove their hearts far from me, and the fear toward me is taught by the commandment of men." That is what he's talking about. We say the right thing, but in our hearts there is not true honor. You know, and God wants to take us to that place when we work with each other, when we mingle, when we on conversations, wherever we are, that we have always that honor principle in our lives. When we receive from each other, there must always be honor. Roman centurion, you know the story. He comes to Jesus and he says to Jesus, "You know, my servant is sick. You just speak the word and my servant will be healed." And then Jesus says something. He said, "I've never seen in the whole of Israel so much faith like in this man." We know Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing and hearing comes by the word of God. In other words, John the Baptist, Mary, you can name them all the disciples, they must have heard much more scripture, you know, about Jesus. And we would have thought that they would have more faith. But Jesus says, this man has got more faith than they all. Why? Because he understood the authority of Jesus. He understood authority and he coupled the coupling of authority and honor together made it possible that Jesus could say he's got more faith. And likewise, we can position ourselves at that place as well, where we can receive the full reward when we understand authority, when we understand honor, when honor is due. What you cease to honor, you eventually lose. Honor always starts in the heart. Honor always starts with an attitude first, and then it becomes action. Honor is not honor until it's manifested. You know? We can think it, you can have a thought about it, whatever, But until you honor each other, when it comes out of here, or the way I respond to somebody else, that will determine how I will receive. John 13:20, one of my favorite scriptures, you know, which I always have to carry with me. And it says this: most assuredly, I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. You know, I carry the scripture with me in my mind always when people come to me, because I know God can send a two-year-old boy to me to speak a word, and I need to be open to that. And if I cannot receive from that person that God sent, I cannot claim that I know God and I can receive from him, because God, he's God's messenger at that moment. And many times we have that problem in church or out there, you know, we look at the messenger, but we fail to listen to the voice inside of that messenger. And we look at the outward, and we think, you know, who is he to come and tell me, or who is he with this word? But sometimes we have to be blind to that and just say, listen, let me listen to the voice inside. So I'm talking about three honor levels of honor which I find in the word this morning. First of all, the honor above, honoring those above us, then honoring those on our level, and then also honoring those below us. So it's not just about us here honoring certain people, but it's really about the whole process. It might need to integrate our system, you know, so that whenever and wherever we relate to, there must be honoring in that, because there's a reward on the other side. Doesn't matter if I am more spiritual or I'm more mature or I'm in the higher level, even when we honor our children, or when we get to that place where, when I'm going to talk about it, when we honor the ones below us, there's also a reward in for us, the way we relate to them and we honor them. So in starting that with the first one, I thought about honoring our civil and our social leaders. And in Romans 13, God is very, very assertive when he talks about who we should honor, where the authority is coming. He's clearly stating it there, that all authority comes from God, you know, whether we like it or not. I'm not saying that their behavior is always godly, that we can debate, but we still need to honor them for the position that God has placed them in, you know. And it might be like our councilmen, our mayors, our judges, our policemen, you know, but we need to honor them because God placed them there to protect us and to serve. They are servants in the kingdom of God and to help us. 1 Timothy 3 verse 7 says this: moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. We as Christians in the church should have a good reputation out there, so that people look at us and we are not a hindrance to the gospel. Okay, we hear all the stories that you Christian like this and this. There's valid reasons for that. But as far as possible, we have to keep a good testimony so that people look at us. And like with the church in Acts 5, they had a good reputation. People esteem them highly, the non-Christians, because they look at their behavior, the way they honor it. And just us relating to the governmental instructions, institutions, and the way we talk to them and the way we address them, if we carry that honor in their heart, we will be rewarded. I thought about this, or I heard about this story about this pastor. He had a church of about 150 people, and they were struggling to break through that barrier just to multiply or just to grow. And after 3 years, this pastor that was visiting them came past there, and suddenly the church doubled to about 800, 900 people. And he asked the pastor, how is it possible that your church doubled, or not doubled, was it quadrupled, but anyway, 150, from 150 to 800. And he said, you know what, we as a church, you know, our people just complain all the time about the taxes, and they complain about the municipality or the council, and they complain about this, until one day I said, you know, I'm fed up of this complaining. We're not going to complain anymore. Let's see what the need is out there. And they found out that there's a need at the fire department for a specific kind of mask or equipment in order to fight the fires. They didn't have the money. It was about $25,000. And they decided we're going to call a day, and then we're going to just ask for offerings. Long story short, they got the money, and then they bought the equipment. They blessed the fire department. They made a big thing about it. They went there, they blessed them, and then a few months down the line, when they were building a new building, and the first Sunday after that, you know, all of these people were sitting there, and so many more people in the community. But just them deciding to honor the people out there allowed them to break through that barrier that was there, you know. Suddenly, in the community, they were seen differently because they were willing to go that extra mile and honor that people, you know. And likewise, as I said in the first service as well, next year we're starting with a new campaign, Love the City, probably towards February. So it's a bit different than what we are used to, but this is the place where we're just gonna love the city and do what we have, or use our skills as a church to bless our town, you know, and to see that we have an effect on the community out there. Not necessarily walking around with a Bible and looking for opportunity, you know, to preach to somebody. You'll probably have to put that away and take out your tools if you're a carpenter or what. And we're just gonna bless the community and see if the DRC needs this. We're gonna see if there's a real need, then we're gonna go and build something there. But do something constructively and love the city and show to them that church is not happening here on a Sunday only, and we're all here just for ourselves, but it's about making a difference there. And that influence and just honoring them can just open a door for us in the future. Okay, we're not doing it with an agenda. We're doing it because we want to honor our leaders and the people around us. Then I thought about this, honoring our parents. Now, we don't have a problem with the older generation about honoring, but it's this younger generation, and I'll count myself into that generation, you know, the time when we stop saying "oom and tannie" almost, you know, uncle and aunt. I don't say that you have to go back to that and say that. All I'm saying, there was a kind of respect that went with that along. It was just kind of normal, you know. I'm not saying, you know, that we should go back to that. But it's easier with the older people. You pick it up that they are understanding this principle. Yet the younger generation, and I saw that in England as well, you know, they don't know how to honor older people or their parents. They just don't. For them, it's all about this human rights thing, you know. I've got to say, in this human rights thing, oh, you know, it's just what a pot of evil, I almost want to say sometimes, you know. Because I can decide what I want to do. Nobody's got a say about my life, you know. It's just going to a place where I just destruct myself, actually, eventually, you know. Because no, you're not accountable to anybody, you know, and people are not honoring their parents. And in the word, we find it that honoring our parents is not a suggestion, it's not a recommendation, it's actually a commandment, you know. It's one of those things that I really feel strong about, you know. And even when you leave your house and you are past 21 and you think, you know, I'm the man now, God is still expecting you to honor them. Yes, the roles might change, but God still wants you to honor them. And when you relate to them, that honor should be in your heart, not just here. Irrespective of how off they might be, or they're not, you don't agree with them, I believe that God's got a specific reward through that channel that He wants to channel to you if you honor them continuously. And not complaining about them. You know, when we get older, I've heard it so many times, you know, we had this process as well. Well, my grandmom is getting older, but then I don't know why it's when we get older, we sometimes get more difficult. You know, we start with like a child and then it goes like that, and you hear all the complaints, and yes, there's probably a reason for that. And we start complaining along the way, you know, my mom was doing this. And but I think we should just get to the place and say, Lord, help me to keep honor in my heart, you know. Because when they die, you might be the first one that's standing in the row and ask me, how much did they leave for me, you know. And I don't think God wants us to be that, you know. But we need to keep our hearts pure so that we keep on honoring. I thought about Ham, the son of Noah. Ham, is that the right pronunciation? Noah came out of the ark, you know, a little bit long, a few weeks after that, months, I don't know, the Bible doesn't say. And then one day Noah had too much to drink, you know. So Noah is there in his tent. He's naked there, lying around there, and his son Ham comes in. And the way he relates to Noah, he was dishonoring Noah. And with that one life-defining moment, with him just dishonoring Noah, his descendants were cursed. Noah cursed him. And you know that his descendants was the were the Canaanites, the ones that the Israelites overcame when they entered into the promised land, just because of one act of dishonor towards his parents. That's why we have to be so careful how we relate, you know, and to keep it pure. Now it's the more difficult part. I have to preach about honor our church leaders. Okay, so don't look at me when I talk about honoring, but I'm just preaching about, and I'll preach what I see in the word because it helps all of us. And I'm preaching to myself as well because I've got authority over me as well as I'm standing here. You can only have authority as long as you are an authority. Okay, that's how it works. And We read in Matthew 10, verse 41, he who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. If we don't understand this thing, and we mix these roles up, you might just receive, you know, the wrong reward. What am I trying to say to you? If your spiritual leader, I'm not taking myself as an example this morning, let's just talk in general so that we understand this principle. If all you see him as a buddy or as a mate or whatever, you know, then you'll receive that reward from him. And it might be your own cell leader as well. It might be direct, whatever, whoever it might be. But when we're in that process, when we engage spiritually, we need to honor each other so that we can receive the full reward. And this is exactly what the word says in Matthew 10. If you want to receive a prophet's reward, make sure that you receive him in such a way as a prophet in your heart. Hannah prayed for a son as she was praying in the tabernacle. Eli came in and she was crying and Eli thought she's drunk. And then at that moment when he spoke to her in a kind of demeaning way, Hannah didn't counter-react and tell Eli, who are you to tell me? I'm just praying to God. Now you're telling me I'm drunk. Hannah still acted in an honorable way towards Eli. Even though Eli was, you will see later on, how God says that I'll never forgive the sins of Eli and his sons. You know, and that's a place you never want to be when God says something like that. So it shows you in a way how wicked he became. But yet through that, when Hannah prayed and Eli heard, when after she said to him, no, my Lord, I'm just praying unto God for a son. The Lord used that words to speak that into existence. Because Eli said, let it be. Let the Lord answer your prayer. Even at that place where Eli might have been a bit off the road, God still honored Hannah's prayer through that man, through that channel. Because he was in the position of authority. That doesn't mean that all authority is necessarily right. I'm not saying that. I'm not preaching that this morning. Again, I'm saying the cruel behavior or that wrong behavior, that's not from God. And we can address that, but we still need to make sure that there's honor in our hearts. And there's many people out there, you know. This is the problem with this thing in the church, is that you find so many offended Christians out there. They don't agree with leadership or they don't agree with this. Then we decide we're going to start our own church. We're going to do our own thing there. I don't submit. I'm not accountable to anybody. So I'm doing my own thing there where nobody can tell me how I should do it, you know. And there's so many of them out there. It's dangerous. It's dangerous to hang around those people. I'll just say it to you that just as it is, you know. If somebody's not willing to submit under authority, that means that God needs to work in that person's life to a place where you're under authority. Because authority is there to protect us, you know, and to help us. I'm not talking about destructive authority and this bad things happening as well. But likewise with David. David was at that place, you know, the Lord anointed him and told him, you know, you're going to be the next king. Then the opposite happened. Saul just became like a demon, you know. And he went through a hard time right through that stage. But all the time through that process, David never dishonored Saul. He had the opportunity to kill him. Yet he didn't want to lift his hand against the anointed one of God. He honored him for the position. And he allowed God to establish him at the right time. In his time, and I think it took about 14 years from the time, I'm not sure, but about 14 years from the time he got the promise or when he was anointed till he eventually became king. Not an easy process, but we learn so much. Submission versus obedience. Submission deals with our attitude, whereas obedience relates to our actions. And then Isaiah 1:19 says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. So it's not just about doing that, but it's about having a willing spirit. When we honor each other, it doesn't help. I just do it because it's expected of me to honor people. But we need to do it with a willing heart. And they need to flow out of our hearts in such a way that we will receive the full reward. Hebrews 13:17 says this, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your soul. And then honoring those on our level, honoring our peers. Romans 12:10 says this, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. And Paul wrote this, I love the scripture, the New Living Translation says it like this, in the presence of Christ I speak with utter truthfulness, I do not lie, and my conscience and the Holy Spirit confirm that what I am saying is true. My heart is filled with bitter sorrow and unending grief for my people, my Jewish brothers and sisters. Listen to this last part, I would be willing to be forever cursed, cut off from Christ, if that would save them. Paul was able to get to that place when that Romans 5:5 love was so deposited into his heart, that love that the Holy Spirit comes and he deposits into your heart, that he was able to say, I'd rather lose my salvation if my brothers can just be saved. And that is the kind of honor and love that we should have in our lives, or seek to press in and say, Lord, just pour more of that Romans 5:5 love. Because in my own ability or capacity, I don't have that. Only you can come and pour that into my heart so that I can say, like Paul. And we need to honor those that are wrong us, the aged people or the people that are older. Because they've got a reward in for us this morning. Not when they are dead. It's good to go and put the flowers on the grave. But God wants you to honor you people while they're still here with us. So look around to somebody that's old this morning. Seems to you like he's old. And tell him, I'm honoring you this morning, you know. I'm not going to wait till you die this morning. But God calls us to honor each other. Then those beneath us, honor those that are entrusted to us. Matthew 10:42 says this, and whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, surely I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. Little ones can refer to small children, but it also refer to those entrusted to us, the ones that God appoints you over and say, look after them, you know. And the Bible is very clear in Matthew 18 when he warns leaders about the way how they deal with these little ones, that we should really act responsibly and understand that we've got such a great task and responsibility to bring them up in the right way. And for us to honor them, it means that we sometimes have to show them the way, correct them, and help them. And that is the way how we honor the ones, or the little ones, the ones beneath us. Authority is given for the purpose of building up, for serving and helping and protecting. And that is why our hearts should be always to see that those beneath us should prosper. We don't get jealous when God prosper, bless those underneath us, you know, or beneath us, and they just go to a higher heights than we've been, because our hearts are at that place where we, as a father, just get so much more excited when we see our children get further than where we are. And then we need to honor our children, you know. We value our children by the way we speak to them. We speak to them in such a way that they will flourish in life, you know. That comes out of our mouth. That needs to be such a way that is honoring. I was walking in Sparta the other day, a month or two ago, and there was a little boy running through the aisle. I don't know what he did. He was probably naughty. And his mom was just pushing the trolley. And at one moment, she just got fed up for him. And she said to him, I will destroy you, you know, in Afrikaans, verwoesio. And it just stuck in my spirit. I said, you know, I don't know what she just, if she know what she's just said or realize what she's just said, you know. We say things like that loosely. Or I don't say you necessarily, but things like that can, you know, destroy that child, because you just spoke something into over that child, you know. And as a parent, we should never say those things. Not saying we are doing, but we can also neglect to say the good things sometimes when it's due. When God says, I want you just to speak that blessing over them. And that's why it's so, you know, this, what's the bar mitzvah? Such a special thing, you know. When we're going to do more of that here in our church, you know, when our children reach that age, when we're just going to speak a blessing over them. And there's so much we can learn from the Jewish people there, you know, of having a house where we just proclaim God's favor and blessing. Imagine you do that every week. I don't say we have to take on all the customs and things. There's a lot of that we sometimes get bogged down with. But I'm saying there's principles that we can take from there, you know. And imagine you just speaking that over your children all the time. Can you see where they will go? Just saying that over them. Psalm 127 verse 3. What a beautiful scripture. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. And then Proverbs 13:24 says, he who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. Okay, a lot of us know that scripture because we use that to justify when we want to discipline. I'm not going into that this morning. My last one this morning, the wheels are out. The aeroplane is about to land, so bear with me. We need to honor our wife or our husband. And 1 Peter 3 verse 7 says this, husbands likewise dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel. Okay, deal with them with understanding. Okay, I had to read this again this week, and it was something funny that just came in my spirit. I said, you know, we make sometimes this joke, we don't understand each other, we don't understand a woman, you know, and then it was the scripture that just, but the Lord says you need to understand, you need to dwell with understanding. But I haven't got a scripture for the men this morning, oh, for the woman. So let's just all admit, you know, we sometimes do it wrong, you know, we don't get it right. But God wants us to honor each other, the way we relate to each other. And it's difficult in the house many times, you know, because we know each other better. We know the mistakes, we know the shortcomings, and it's hard sometimes for us to receive. But we need to look at that and see, God might just want to talk to you, to me through my wife, you know. And I shouldn't see it as my wife or the out or the body or whoever the person, but listen to the voice through her. And when I do that, I will receive the full reward. All of us make mistakes, you know, at some time. But at the end of the day, God still, you know, work through that order. Whether it's in the body, whether it's in the marriage life, you know, wherever it is, God's got an order. And he runs through that order. That's why we as men, we need to take up our role and be that pioneer that walks in the front, you know. God wants to do it like that. But unfortunately, I don't know why it is like that, you know, but why do we see that more women come to church? They are more just spiritual. I don't know. Somewhere along the line, we as men, we didn't take up our role, you know. We just lost it, you know. And God wants us to take that up so that we can run in the front, you know, and people can receive their reward in with any other. Let's close our eyes this morning. I said in the first service as well, I don't want to make it a very long ending this morning, but as you close your eyes, I just sense how I gave the opportunity for everyone this morning that right through the sermon, if you just sense that there wasn't dishonoring in your heart towards someone, might be your husband, might be your wife, might be a spiritual leader, might be your children, I don't know what it might be. But I want us, when we enter into this new year, we're going to trust the Lord that he will take us through a process where we will carry honor in our hearts all the time. When we relate to each other, wherever it might be, there will always be honor in our hearts. That is my prayer for us. That will keep us together. That will keep offenses out. Because if we keep our hearts pure and there's honor in our hearts, then we deal with those things. So if you feel in any way that the Holy Spirit is showing that there's just dishonoring towards a person that you related to, then we're just going to repent of that. I want you to invite you to stand with me. We repent of that this morning. We lay down and we carry on this year coming and the life to go, that we make sure that we don't have a pattern or a cycle of dishonoring, that it doesn't occur again. That we say, Lord, I'm choosing to honor, to live a life of honoring those that I relate to. Thank you, Jesus.